Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, the time that we have set aside, become committed to, and submit ourselves unto on Wednesday night. It's a time when God has given us the opportunity to come together and fellowship one with another in the Word of God. It's a time where we explore the Word of God to hear what the Spirit has to say to us. And hopefully we take what we hear and become doers and not just be hearers of the Word. It's always a privilege and an honor to come before the people of God. And I give God all of the praise for allowing me to come before his people. Our lesson tonight is what you sow is what you will reap. What you sow is what you will reap. Galatians 6:10-7. Hallelujah. And at this time, I'm going to play a song. And when we come back, we're going to go to God's throne of grace in prayer.
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on. If God's been faithful, then sing along with us. Everybody say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Come on, all over the world.
Faithful.
Say faithful.
Faithful.
Faithful is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Come on, say faithful.
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 Faithful,
faithful is our God.
Faithful is our God.
Yes, he is. Come on, say faithful.
Faithful.
Faithful is our God.
I'm reaping the harvest.
Take back what the devil stole from me. And I rejoice today. For I shall recover it all. Yes, I rejoice today. Somebody's getting their family back right now. Come on and say it. Some cows are coming up for drugs right now. And I rejoice today. Woo. And I rejoice today.
Yeah, we have to realize, like the song say, the devil is the enemy, and he's trying to shift and destroy things in your life. If we're not careful, he will try to take our children. He'll mess with our finances. He'll just try to do everything. But we have to realize that Satan do have power, but his power is limited. His power is limited. So we're going to stand on the promises of God, because this is a spiritual warfare between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh represents the things of Satan, and the spirit represents the things of God. We have to realize that we must hold on to the confession of our faith. We can't go in this war with the things of the world, the carnal weapons. We can't go in the war fighting with deeds and works, because it's a spiritual warfare. And our weapons are not carnal. And we have to fight the good fight of faith. We have to be patient and don't give up, because the race is not given to the swift, those who endure until the end. We have to trust God with everything that we have, everything that we want, and everything that we need. And at this time, it's time for prayer. And I'm affording the opportunity for anyone on the line who would like to lead us in prayer. You may press the one button on your phone. Hallelujah. Someone has pressed. Sister Pam. Sister Pam, I thank you so much. And I have opened your mic.
Father God, we thank you tonight for life. Thanking you, Father God, for allowing us to come together on another Wednesday night. Coming together, O Lord, on one accord for prayer and for worship. Thanking you, Father God, for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane. Lord, we thank you for her anointing. We thank you for the wisdom, and we thank you for the knowledge, Lord Jesus, that comes from you. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and for your mercy. We pray, oh, Father God, that you continue to bless our Bible study and bless each and every person that calls in every Wednesday night. Lord, we be so careful to give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. In the sweet, holy name of Jesus Christ, amen, and thank you, God.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam.
You're welcome.
I had a desire that someone would pray tonight. I didn't know who, but I asked God to let somebody pray, and you pressed your button. God
amen.
Is in the blessing business. God is truly in the blessing business. Nothing too big and nothing too small to ask God. They say in all things through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. God wants us to include him in everything.
Oh, yes.
Anything and all things. And
yes,
Sister Pam, I thank you for answering the call of opportunity that God pressed on your heart to press the one button. I just want to say thank you, and I'm giving God the glory, the praise, and the honor.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank you so much. Well, it's time to get in the Word of God. As I said earlier, the title of our lesson is What you sow is what you reap. We coming from the book of Galatians. We in the 6th chapter, verses 7 through 10. And I ask that everybody read that chapter, and I pray you had time to do it because you could get a full understanding that what God is saying in this 6th chapter of Galatians, other than the 3 verses that I'm going to expound on. But as always, I do a little background. And I'm talking about sowing and reaping. I want you guys to know tonight that the most important principle in the Bible is the principle of sowing and reaping. This principle is irrevocable. In other words, it's established and it will remain. There's no guessing in the game. It's what God established. And it is real, and you can't switch it, change it, or alter it. So when I say this principle is irrevocable, I want you to know there's no way to escape. And I'm not only talking about the believers, but I'm also talking about the unbelievers. You could imagine some things that believers do, and you could see the reaping, like we like to say, the harvest that comes in. And you could look at the life of unbelievers doing whatever they wanted to do, sowing any kind of seeds, not really, and they concerned with the reaping, but they just sow any kind of seeds. You see, this is a law of life. And I like to use the illustration of gravity because, you see, gravity has been established and it is what it is. Because with gravity, they say what goes up must come down. And they have never had anything that went up that didn't come down. You see, and I want you to know tonight, but what you are experiencing today in your life is a result of the seeds that you've sown in the past. I'm going to say that again. What you are experiencing today in your life is a result of the seeds that you have sown in the past. And I have to stop there and let you know the seeds that you sown, whether they were good or bad. Whenever I see this, it always brings me back to my mother. I can remember being a little girl, and I mean young girl, under the age of 11, because my mother died when I was 11. But under the age of 11, and my mother used to always tell, I guess me and that all of my sisters and brothers, you know how parents say, y'all better do what's right because you're going to reap what you sow. You better watch what you do. Because you're going to reap what you sow. Keep being bad and it's going to come back to you. And they preached that and preached that and preached that. And that's how I got introduced to sowing and reaping. I didn't know it had two sides to it. But oh, when I began to study the Word of God and the Holy Ghost began to give me illumination and revelation and the truth of the things of God in His Word, I realized that I was going to, if I sow good, I was going to reap good. And if I sowed bad, I would reap bad. That was awakening for me. And it made me ponder and wonder. So I knew I wasn't perfect. And I used to always tell God, I pray that I done reaped for all the bad that I have done, and nothing will be left for me to reap but goodness. And then I told God, if I begin to reap what is good, then good would follow me. And I got to understand the principle a little bit better. You see, I told you about the things that is going on in your life now is a result of what you have sown in your past. But I want you to know that your future depends on the seeds that you sow today. You know, therefore, we can direct our lives into God's blessing by sowing the right seeds so that he can work all things out together for our good. You see the seeds that you sow, the good seeds, they produce blessings. And you know, just like your obedience. See, your obedience and the good seeds that you sow is what allows the Holy Spirit to take those things and begin to work all things out together for your good. We constantly say, work all things out together for our good. God works all things out together for our good. Well, how do he do it? He do it with what you put in his hand, those good seeds and those acts of obedience and those things, the good service that you do. God take that and put it on account for you. And then you see he began to work all things out for your good. And that's how it works, you guys. Remember, only those things done for Christ will last. And what we have to take as a starting point, if we don't know anything else, Matthew 6:33 says, kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek righteousness first. And if you do that, all these things shall be added unto you. It's a promise, y'all. You see, the things of God, when sown, will guarantee us a bountiful harvest. Now, you see, I'm talking about a harvest right now. We have to remember that in the Old Testament, you know, it was an agricultural time. They plant grapes, they plant vineyards, their food source was wheat, and they had to get the wheat to make the bread. So it was a lot of seed planting and harvest. The Bible speaks so much of it because those people who they were talking to in that day could relate to it so well. You know, we don't plant, well, some people do, but most of us don't plant our seed, so we don't know to plant the seed to make the row. This particular seed is going to come up at this season, and then we have to harvest to pick it up, what was planted, and different things like that. So a lot of the analogies and a lot of the metaphors in the Bible relate to seeds and harvest. So I said the things of God, when sown, will guarantee us a beautiful harvest here on earth. And we're going to also receive an eternal harvest for eternity. Sowing the wrong seed lead to destruction. When you say sowing the wrong seeds, let's think about somebody that do everything to earn money illegal. They do the illegal acts over and over and over to get money. They have to watch for the police. They have to watch for the robbers. They have to watch. They have to watch. They have to watch. They have to watch. And God forbid, which mostly happens, they go to jail. And everything they worked for is gone. They can't collect a harvest from that wrongdoing. But look at it on the other side. Someone who plants. And I ain't talking about the rich people. And I'm not talking about the most educated person. Somebody that just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. The Bible teaches us that good will follow you. It's just a law, y'all. So we're going to look at our scriptures at this time, and I'm going to start in Galatians 6:7. And the word of God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that's what he shall also reap. See, when we say, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. You see, you have to look at it like this. The root cause of a careless and indulgent lifestyle of many people in the world today is because they are deceived. They figure they have figured out a wrong way to do right. Hallelujah, y'all. But deception is in them. You know, Satan implanted that seed in their head that they could get it all by doing it his way, really, his way, the way of the world. And Satan put that thought in his head, and it stayed there, and he's trying to get them to accept his perception. If they keep doing what they do, they accept the perception of Satan, and now it becomes their reality, which they are really deep down now deceived, that they could do it any kind of way and expect to get the other results. You know, they say the definition of insanity is keep doing things one way and expecting to get a different result. Many of them go to jail over and over and over again and get out of jail, start doing the same thing because they are deceived that this time they're going to know how to do it better. But there's no right way to do wrong, my sisters and brothers. You see, these people lean to their own understanding, or they do anything that seems right in their own eyes. They either do not believe the truth, or they think they will somehow be an exception to God's rule. Y'all know any people like that? And I know some people, I don't care what they do, they could jaywalk and they're going to go to jail. Some people just seem like that, and some may get by with doing wrong longer than others. For the majority and the major percentage of them, they say they're either in the grave or incarcerated. And many of them might not be incarcerated, but because of their lifestyle, they're now, you know, in wheelchairs. You know, they have, you know, physical deformities from, you know, getting shot and things like that. But you see, they either don't believe the truth, or they think they will somehow be an exception to God's rules. You see, to mock God is when someone turn their nose up at him, and they do it with such authority that they believe they could outwit him. But they can't. Because you see, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for their deeds in the body according to what he has done. And like I said earlier, whether good or bad. You see, the Bible speaks a lot about seed planting and harvest time. And I really have to say that I really believe it, because the Bible tells us that our latter would be better than our beginning. And of course, your latter, you have more time to sow the right seeds that's going to produce a great harvest. And, you know, when I look at my life today and I, you know, just see the hand of God, you know, I'm not rich or, you know, not on it all, but the Bible told me that everything is not for everybody. But if you could go to sleep at night and you have four walls and a roof around you, we need a car for transportation. And anything over one is an overflow. Deaf people have one pair of shoes. Anything over one pair of shoes is overflow. So let's understand. You see, a harvest is what you will receive from what you have planted. As a general principle, it is true that sowing leads to reaping. It is true in agriculture, and it is true in our life choices. Sometimes you may wonder how much reaping you will receive once you have sown. And I could give you an example. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, whosoever sow sparingly. And I'm not just talking about money, y'all. I'm not just talking about giving up of money. I'm talking about giving up yourself. Hallelujah, y'all. But it says, whosoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know, have you ever helped somebody? God is saying when you need help, help will be on the way because you sowed help. Did you ever sow kindness? Because you see, what you put out there is what comes back. It's like a boomerang. And the thing that gets me is so many people put bad out there and expect to receive good. The Bible says if you want a friend, you got to first show yourself friendly. They lock all up in the house and, you know, soon if they round people, the first chance they get, they duff out like they on fire, you know. But then they look at someone else or they might decide to have a pity party and say, oh, I don't have friends. But the Bible says to have friends, you have to make yourself friendly. You have to first be friendly. You know, and then, you know, I say it just now that if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And I want you to know if you trust God a little, it can only produce little faith. Sometimes you wonder why some people worry to no end. They cry. They, you know, don't know which way to turn. But it says right here, if you trust God a little, it can only produce a little faith. So if you have only a little faith, but the Bible says if it's the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. But you got to trust God completely with that faith. I want you to know the seeds that I'm talking about tonight represent the word of God. You know, there's a lot of Old Testament verses that also refers to this principle about what we reap is what we sowed. Those who plant injustice will harvest disaster. And who say it? King Solomon in Proverbs 22:8. And then it goes on to say, if you plant wickedness, you know, there's some evil people. I mean, just evil for no reason. Nasty attitudes. Just plain evil. But he said, if you plant wickedness, you will reap evil. The prophet Hosea said that in Hosea 10:13. Another one said, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Y'all know people wake up scheming on other people. And that was the wisdom of the book of Proverbs 1:31. You see, in each case, the law of sowing and reaping goes back to God's justice. You have to stop looking for a harvest that you have not planted. You want to buy a house, but you handle your credit any kind of way. You see, the good seeds with your credit is paying your bills on time. Some things just going to be for what you do. And what you give is what you get. No more, no less. There's a song that Mary sings, and somebody was talking about her, say she could write checks with a whole lot of zeros. And how blessed she was. But in a record, she said, you don't know how much I prayed. She said, you don't know how much I gave. In other words, she was saying, you don't know how much service I do for God. And that's so true. See, she planted the seeds, and now she's receiving the harvest. And many people could see it and wondering why. She said, you look at what I got, but you don't see the seeds that I planted to get the harvest that I have received. You see, and we have to stop looking for things we are not willing to give. So many people want so much from you, but ain't willing to give nothing to you or nobody else. We got to stop looking for things we're not willing to give. You see, in life, there's natural consequences to our actions. The world operates under the law of cause and effect. There is no way around it. Every time we choose an action, good or bad, we also choose the consequences of that action. That's why Jesus said, I died on the cross and I took away all your sins, but the consequences for your actions belong to you. Doing things we shouldn't do won't keep us from entering eternal life, but the consequences of those things, good or bad, has to be experienced here on earth. Hallelujah. Sowing and reaping implies a weight. And this is really, really good, y'all. Sowing and reaping implies a weight. Because you got to realize that nothing good grows overnight. And we have to, if we look at the natural things of the world, let's say somebody plant an apple tree. And for the first 3 years, it bear no fruit. And then on the fourth year, it began to bear. You had to wait. And the apples probably going to be the best apples you ever had. But we don't get to pick the time when our harvest come in. It's our responsibility to sow the good seed in the kingdom. It's our responsibility to do what's right because it's the right thing to do. And then we wait on God. And then you see, even though we sowed the good seed and we think we're going to get everything we want, but God knows some things you want, you're not ready for them. Verse 8, it said, For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. This is the Bible, y'all. But he that sows into the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. You know, this verse here summarizes the principle well. When we are selfish, proud, unjust, sinful, trusting in our own ability, our education, our bank book, our fine cars, our pretty ladies, are worked to save us, we are sowing to the flesh. That's what the scripture means by sowing to the flesh. And I tell you what, destructions await. But when we are selfless, generous, kind, and dependent on God's provision and our salvation, we are sowing to the Spirit. And we will reap a bountiful life here on earth in the kingdom of God, helping to build the kingdom of God, because God said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But when we do this, we will reap a bountiful life here and an eternal life there. You see, but if you sow all your time, resources, talents, gifts into the world system, you can only receive worldly things. And I need to tell you tonight that everything of the world is only temporal, y'all. And it usually causes much pain because of its limited return potential. It promises a lot, but it delivers little. It promises you prestige. And many of them, I could tell you, many of the politicians, the man from here, Jefferson, he had prestige. He wind up behind bars. Yeah, sin promised a lot, but it only delivered little. And sin have a way of walking out on you when the heat is in the kitchen. He walk away and go to the next one. He set you up for failure, destruction, and he leave you hanging. But if you sow into the kingdom of God, you will receive all of the benefits of the King, which are everlasting. And those things we do for Christ is going to last. It's going to last and take care of us. Hallelujah, y'all. Here on earth. And we're going to travel with it through eternity. That's why when Jesus come back in the cloud, he say he have his reward in his hand. And he's going to reward those that sowed good seeds. In verse 9 and 10, and let us not be weary in doing good. Tell us, let's not get weary. The race is not given to the swift. Don't get discouraged by people, y'all. Don't let people make you turn around. Don't get weary. The same people keep asking you over and over and over and over and over again. And you know they don't do nothing for anybody else. Every time they got a need, they come to you. But the Bible says don't get weary. You know, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And y'all have to remember, you don't have to tell everybody, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Bible says just let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. And sometimes you are hear a nudging from God to do certain things. Then you do it. And sometimes your kindness have you do other things. Just do it. But don't grumble. And don't be weary. And walk away. There's so many things that I do in life that I kind of don't always want to do it. And I'm just being honest. But once I say it, I will do it. I do it. But I count the cost before I start. You see, I know, and I'm being hypothetical, if I do something for Lil Joe and is dealing with money, if I give him my money, I know I'm not going to get it back. Come on, y'all. And if I do something for Lil Mary, because of the way she operates, it's going to cause me some kind of confusion and some kind of real, really, y'all, pain. But I see if I can make it through it, and I ask God to help me through it. and certain things I do, because you see, you have to let your light so shine. Don't be stupid. But you got to let people see God working inside of you that he could get the glory. God say, I got you. You know, when we don't want to go through anything for anybody else, something is not right with that picture. Because Jesus, who paid the price for all of us, they whipped him all night long. They say they beat him so bad he wasn't recognized as a, his face wasn't could be recognized as a human being. They pierced him in the side. They nailed his hand. They nailed his feet. They put a thorn up on his head. They caused him all kind of shame. I want to tell you something about shame and agony. You see, when they put him on a cross, that was the consequences for a thief, for a bad person, a sinful person. And he had to stand there with that shame. Then all of his friends walked away from him. When they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas gave the kiss, I call it the kiss of death, and he kissed Jesus to let the soldiers know this is who you're looking for. All his disciples left, y'all. And we have our little problems, and, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not. But Jesus told us. Jesus said, must I bear the cross alone and everybody go free? There's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for me, and there's a cross for you. And God wants you to deal with others in doing with wisdom. He didn't tell you to be a fool. He didn't tell you to be used. But everything God asks you to do, you ain't going to want to do it. And everybody he asks you to help, you're not going to want to help them. So ask God for wisdom, which brings discernment, and decide to do what God is asking you to do. And some things, just do it because it's the right thing to do. Plus, the things you do for others, the lesson we learn it tonight, is going to come back to you. So you're not going to lose. So the scripture says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we not faint. And the last verse says, as we have therefore opportunity. You see, that opportunity is a whole month lesson in itself. You see, every time, every opportunity, every time we decide to do something good, God has presented the opportunity. See, God is not going to just let it be like in the left wing. See, when God, you know, I could imagine, like when we get face to face with God and you know, you didn't do a lot of things. I'm just being hypothetical. And God said, you remember that night? When that person, when you pull in your driveway, that person was standing out there in the winter with no shoes. And you pull up in your driveway and God connects the opportunity to see what you're working with, y'all. He's saying those opportunities that he presents and you don't do is what can cause you to lose your blessing. But he said, we have therefore opportunity to do, let us do good unto all men, everybody in the world, y'all, the homeless under the street that ain't met Jesus Christ. They need a bottle of water. They need a bottle of water. But he said, to all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. See, we the body of Christ, partakers in the household of faith. We are the Christians. But he said, do good for everybody, but especially those in the household of faith. You see, and I'm going to talk about that a little while. While there is a real spiritual principle at work that graciously we do not always reap what we sow. I have to tell you this because, you see, people will get it twisted. You see, God reserved the right to show mercy on whomever he will, as he did with Moses. You see, remember the sovereignty of God. No matter what the law is, even if we look at gravity, watch this, y'all. I'm going to give you the best example. We know that gravity states that what goes up come down. And everything we ever known that went up, it came down. But I want to tell you tonight, if God decides to let something go up and don't come down, he could do that. So we got the laws, we got this, and we got this, but everything is not the same for everybody. And God show mercy upon who he pleases. Because a lot of people who have, many of us may believe they shouldn't have what they have. Or you look at people sometime and you know, but God is in control. Remember, God is sovereign, y'all. None of the law of gravity, none of the law of reaping and harvest, reaping and sowing and reaping can change his will if he decides to do what he want to do. You see, when we say God is sovereign, like everything in place, but God can do what he want to do. I'll give you an example. God, you know, the animals don't talk. But God can use everything he created to get his glory. Now, they had a donkey, and a man was riding on the donkey, and the man was beating the donkey, and he wanted to go one way, but God wanted to go another way. That donkey turned around and spoke to that man. God can use everything he created for what he wants. So I'm just telling you to open your mind. Don't put God in a box. Because, yes, you're going to reap what you sow. In gravity, everything go up and come down. But if God decided to do it different, his will is going to be done. No matter what you say, no matter what you think, because God is sovereign. And we have to leave space for God's sovereignty in all of this thing of creation. You see, look at this, reaping what you sow. We sowed iniquities, and even today we still do. And we sow corruption. Adam sinned against God, brought sin in the world. The sin penalty was death. So we should receive death. But God, in his sovereignty and his will, he sent his son. So Jesus reaped all of our punishment on the cross. Hallelujah, y'all. Didn't God do it? And that's what I'm trying to show you. God can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. You see, faith is Jesus. Faith in Jesus and the pursuit of godliness is sowing in the faith, in the spirit, I meant to say, y'all, because it talks about sowing in the after the flesh and of the spirit. But sowing faith is in Jesus and the pursuit of godliness is sowing of the Spirit, doing the things of God, growing in grace and the knowledge of God, studying to show yourself approved, praying to God. That's sowing in the Spirit. But sowing to the flesh depends on ourselves and our ability to find our own way without God's help. You know, plenty of time men are saved, and sometimes women, I'm a self-made man. How many times people say everything they got it, God had nothing to do with it. But you see, they will reap nothing but a dead end. But when we place our faith in Christ, we reap eternal life. You see, his love is a fertile ground. God presents the opportunity for us to be of service and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is to sow well. And God is talking about that opportunity when Jesus spoke in Matthew 25 and 35. Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, hallelujah, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then shall the person ask him, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and feed thee, a thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took him in, or naked and clothed you? Or when we saw you sick or in prison and came unto you?" And the King Jesus shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done unto me." They say that the greatest commandment in the world, when Jesus broke it down into two, love the God, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In the Old Testament, God dwelt among the people, and he did many miracles. And even in the New Testament, well, more in the Old Testament, because he talked to Moses. Moses asked what the people wanted, and God delivered. But you see, after Jesus came and died and the Holy Spirit is left on the earth, there's no need to be miracles done by God. But God can do miracles. I'm not saying there are no more miracles. But God said, y'all can make miracles every day for one and one, with one another. That's what you call kingdom building. That's what you say, Christian, living in a household of faith, that the scripture talked about, do well for everybody, y'all. You don't have no food. I give you food. That's a miracle. Come on, y'all. I help you pay your light bill because you was going to be in darkness, and God gave me the money to let you be in the light. We have to do for one another. And that's what Jesus said. What you did for the least of one of these, what you did for the least of one of them, or one of them, you have done unto me. And I want you to know, we reap more than we sow. So don't get it twisted. In other words, the law of sowing and reaping is related to the law of multiplication. Jesus spoke of seeds that brought forth 160 and 30 times that which was sown. Y'all know that in Matthew 13 and 8. You see, one grain of wheat produced a whole head of grain. In the same way, you tell a little lie and it could ruin nations. Look at the lying tongue of the last president we have. Lie, one lie after another, and look at the destructions we have in the United States of America. So you see, sometimes what you sow maybe sow a little, but it produced a lot of good or a lot of bad. But you see, when it's all said and done, if we sow that which is right, because it's the right thing to do, our living wouldn't be in vain, and Christ will be able to say, "You have sown well." And then he'll say, "My good and faithful servant, well done. Come home and take your rest." And that's the lesson for tonight. Anybody would like to comment? Phone, prayer. This is our Bible study, y'all. God has given this to us. And it's our Bible study.
And he afforded us the privilege to be able to talk to one another, ask questions, or whatever, you know, the need may be. Ask something about the lesson. Ask something to be cleared up. Because this is the way God made this for us, y'all. And I thank God for it. And I thank God for each and every one of you. And if there's nothing else to be said or done at this time, if so, you can press the one button. But if not, if someone would like to do a benediction, you could press the one button and do it at this time. And y'all may wonder why I always ask that, because God told me to do that. God, you know, many times people say, I go to a Bible study and they be teaching and something I don't understand and I can't ask the question because that's the forum don't allow it. God gave us this forum and he told me to always offer an opportunity for people to express, sing, pray, or whatever. So if someone would like to do the benediction, you can at this time by pressing the one button. And if not, I'll just use 2 Peter 3:18 because it's so appropriate. Okay, call Sister Joyce Brown, I see your button pressed. Your mic is open. If you're talking, I can't hear you if your phone is on mute.
Oh, I'm
or maybe
sorry.
She
can you hear me now?
Yes,
you
can.
Now?
Yes, we can.
All right. I'm just going to give the benediction. Thank you again for a powerful and wonderful lesson tonight. The benediction goes as this. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Amen, my sister. Thank you so much for that benediction. And if that's
You're so
it,
welcome.
Hallelujah. I can tell everybody good night. God be with you. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back on next Wednesday at the 8:30 hour. Everybody, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Amen.